Title of our message this morning is The Night is Far Spent and the Day is at Hand. This generation has inherited a landscape that is really post-Christian, humanistic, materialistic, agnostic, even atheistic. It's one of the reasons that the Graham Association is so concerned about the Northeast, because the Northeast has really become a bastion of post-Christian God deniers. We see a great decline in people who want to embrace and put their faith and walk in the things of the Lord. So you may say, well, why do we need to be concerned? Because every single person is a living soul, an eternal soul. Every single person is who Jesus died on the cross for. And this generation is not past hope. You see, every generation can be touched with the power of the gospel. And you and I, we have to understand that while, yes, the night is far spent, today, the day, is at hand. It's our opportunity, it's our time to reach out to a lost and dying world and remind them that there is a living God who cares for their soul. And even as the song that John and Hillary just sang stated, I am a child of God. You and I are the children of God. We are that remnant for that generation. And therefore, we must be bold. I want you to listen to what Romans 13, 12 through 14 says. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. He is reminding you and I of the events that have taken place in, yes, our generation, as well as their generation, to let them know that, yes, the night is far spent, and the day is at hand for people to come to faith and to come to know the Lord. So he challenges us. He says, therefore, we need to cast off the works of darkness. That's what he says in verse 12. Every one of us, you and I, we have a responsibility to say, I am a child of God, and therefore I am going to cast off the works of darkness because I represent him. But I really want to go to a different place with that thought and that aspect of the text. I want you to understand that all around us are those who are struggling in the works of darkness. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 down through 21. And I want you to listen to the description of those works of darkness. And I want you to listen as to how relevant this is to the day that you and I are living in right now, our culture, our society, our community. Listen to what it says. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past. He reminds us of those who are living in the midst of the works of darkness and bearing the consequences of those works of darkness. As I look at this text, I kind of divide it up into different groupings in my mind, because there's actually 17 bullet points there. He points out for us 17 things that are the works of the flesh or the works of darkness. The first little grouping, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, means indecency. So he's talking to you and I about those fleshly things that destroy and hurt lives. You may say to yourself, well, I don't know. I've been taught that you should do what feels good. Well, the problem with that is when it feels good for you, sometimes it really hurts somebody else. Adultery is one of those kind of things. When it comes into a marriage, it wreaks havoc and it hurts and it brings destruction. I did a little bit of research, thinking to myself, if the night is far spent and the day is at hand, where is our culture and our society as far as divorce and infidelity and fornication and uncleanness and indecency? Where are we? According to Divorce Magazine, which I didn't even know there was such a thing, but according to Divorce Magazine, their poll of their folks says that 50% of marriages are touched by adultery or infidelity. Now, I think that number is a bit skewed because it is Divorce Magazine. But I also went and I researched USA.html, which is a much broader base than Divorce Magazine. And they surveyed and reached out to thousands of Americans. And they found that 22% of men in America say that they have committed adultery in their marriage. 14% of women have said they have committed adultery in their marriage. You see, the night is far spent. The day is at hand where adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, or indecency is such a part of our culture that it is almost accepted and winked at, but it bears great heartache and consequence. The second group that we look at in here is idolatry, witchcraft. He even says heresies, which makes me ask the question, well, where does Christianity fall in that? If we are living in a culture of darkness where the night is far spent and we see an increase in idolatry, witchcraft, heresies. Well, in 1990, 85% of Americans said they were Christians. 1990. That's not that long ago. By 1975, that had dropped down to, by 2015, that had dropped down to 75%. And just a few years later, 2017, that same survey, it was down to 70%. So you're seeing a dramatic decline as we see people walk away, as our college students are taught and our high school students are taught to reject God and deny God and deny the Bible. We see in our culture, in our society, this darkness, this work of darkness creep across our culture. And of course, because of it, we see consequences. And that's the next group. Hatred. Variance, which is argumentativeness. Emulation, which means negative zeal. Wrath, strife, sedition, which means insurrection. Those things have all increased across our culture and across our society. We see all the time things that we step back and we say to ourselves, are you serious? This really went on? This really happened? And yes, it really does. In our neighborhoods, even though there's such a push to cure those problems, we still see them prevalent in our society. In fact, I was reading a statistic as I was preparing for this message. Since 1993, we have seen an increase of women in prison for violent crimes of 10.9%. So those little sweeties, those little cuties that you see in elementary school, by the time they're in high school and college, they might take you out. Because our culture has changed. It's a shifting society. And the works of darkness have become much more prevalent when it comes to even that aggressive, violent, in-your-face, push-you-down kind of mentality. 11% increase. Not just in robberies or things. I mean, violent crime. Girls going to prison for violent crime. We are living in a culture and a society where we see the works of darkness prevalent. When you look at this list of works of the flesh or works of darkness, these 17 bullet points, you come down and one of them is drunkenness. And you know, we hear an awful lot about opioid addiction today, don't we? In fact, the Burlington Free Press, in the last few weeks, we've seen the Sunday paper right on the front, big articles about people working through opioid addictions. And yeah, it's a real problem. But we've kind of forgotten about alcoholism and all the other addictions while we were pushing to go ahead and legalize other addictions like marijuana. But I thought I would go ahead and just pull up, being I was doing this research, well, how is the state of alcoholism in the state of Vermont? Vermont and New Hampshire are in the top five for all of the United States of America. In fact, Vermont is number one in the nation for 12-year-old and up in alcohol abuse. Statistics say that if a child starts drinking at the age of 15, they are four times more likely to be an alcoholic. And yet we are number one in the nation in Vermont for 12 years old and up, starting childhood drinking. USA Today said that 19.6% of Vermonters drink to excess. What is excess? Four or more drinks a day, or drinking, binge drinking to drunkenness. In fact, USA Today said that Vermont deaths at automobile accidents, 33.4% due to drunk driving. You and I are living in a time when the works of darkness really are all around us. We certainly see it in the adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. It's on TV and magazines and radio and everywhere to just ignore that kind of moral standard. In fact, they mock you if you say you have that moral standard to stay pure. Certainly when it comes to Christianity, idolatry, witchcraft, heresies, the rejection that God is God is prevalent all the time. People who are believers are mocked, ridiculed, derided. Yes, the night is far spent. The day is at hand for you to reach your neighbor, to reach your children, to grab a hold of your college kids, to get them to understand, listen, the Bible is true. It's real. What took place genuinely happened. And our God is powerful. And He is the God of salvation. That brings us to the next part of our text in Romans chapter 13. You remember it started out by saying in verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. But listen to what he says in the last part of verse 12, the second point. Let us put on the armor of light. You see, while we cast off the works of darkness, he says we need to put on that armor of light in our hearts and our lives. And of course, we know that the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Every single one of us needs to be sure that we've accepted Christ into our hearts and our life, that He might pierce the darkness with His light. That's what we find in the Gospel of John. He tells us Christ is that light that pierces the darkness. The world comprehends it not, but you and I embrace our Lord Jesus Christ. So He tells us, He says, put on the armor of light. I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me at verses 13 down through 21. It says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And I want you to catch what that means. He's saying all these works of darkness that are reproved, he says these things are made manifest or revealed by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. You see, Christ pierces that darkness and he shines light upon those works of darkness that you and I might know how to live righteously in a holy life. Verse 14, he says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know, the Bible teaches us that before we receive Christ, we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And he says to us, he says, receive Christ that you might come alive in Christ. That's why the Graham Association is coming to the Essex Fairgrounds. They're hoping, they're praying, and we along with them, that the light would pierce the darkness of the culture and society that we're living in. That somehow those works of darkness would be pushed back by that piercing light of Jesus Christ. He comes down in this text and he says to us in verse 15 here in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, he wants us to understand that you and I, in our generation, we need to wear that armor of light. We need to be the presence of Christ in our neighborhoods, in our families, and in our community, that people might see through the darkness that there is hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. According to verse 15 in that text I just read to you, he starts out by telling us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. You and I as Christians, we should be walking a walk that honors God, circumspectly, thoughtfully, intentionally. Like that song that John and Hillary sang that so boldly said, I am a child of God, and therefore I must walk the path, walk the walk that represents our Lord in this age and this time when darkness is so prevalent. You and I need to walk circumspectly. He goes on into verse 16. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And you and I, as we get older, we realize how important it is to redeem the time, don't we? A number of you are farmers or at one time worked on farms. And you know how important it is to redeem the time, redeem the day. Just this little bit of sunshine, farmers are looking and thinking, maybe some of my fields will dry out and I can get into the field. And they're going to redeem the time. They're going to be there. We all know the saying, make hay while the sun shines. Redeem that time. But you don't have to be a farmer to understand that. You and I as Christians, he's saying, listen, we are bearers of the light. We represent Christ in the day and age that we live. We have the armor of light on in our family and in our community and on our jobs. And he's saying, use today to represent him. In this age of darkness, use today, because the days are evil. They're tumbling and going so fast. We need to use today to shine bright for our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, he said, understand the will of God. How important it is for you and I to understand and know the will of God. We need to seek and search. Sandra, Joe, and I were just talking about kids going to college. This morning, actually, while we were getting dressed and getting ready to come, we were talking about all the colleges that kids choose to go to. And so many kids choose not to go to good Christian universities. They go to some colleges that are very anti-Christ. Moms and dads, I want to challenge you. Try to steer your kids into a good, solid university or college that is not anti-God. There's lots of really good Christian colleges and universities across America that are not anti-God. Help your kids. Because they're going to go and they're going to be faced with great pressure. Help your kids to be able to be in a place where the light shines. You come down here, he says to us, understand the will of God. We as moms and dads, teenagers, children, We need to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, guide me directly. Give me wisdom that I might know your will and do your will in my life. Verse 18 tells us, be not drunk with wine where is in excess. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit in your life. People looking for all kinds of experiences. He said, if you want an experience, let God dwell in your heart and in your life. Give you that joy unspeakable, full of glory. Help. Let God do a work in your life. Be full with the Holy Spirit that you might enjoy the goodness of good things. I grew up around getting high and drunk and all that stuff. Man, I saw it all the next day and experienced my share. Just saw so little of it that was ever positive or good. I thought about it the other day. I can remember as a kid, a big party at my parents' house. The big fist fight broke out. I was about 12 years old, and as crazy as I was, I went up in my room, and I got my gun, and I came downstairs. Now, as a 12-year-old kid, I thought I was going to stop this mayhem. I'm lucky that something horrible didn't happen. All the foolishness and chaos. Listen, God says, if you need an experience, instead of chaos and mayhem and hurt and sorrow and sickness, let the Spirit of God dwell in your heart and life. Enjoy the good things of life, the blessings of the Spirit indwelling you. You look on a little bit farther down in the text, he comes down after that and he says to us in verse 9, turning your heart to the Lord. That's very intentional. It's very purposeful. Turning your heart toward the Lord. Each of us come to that place. And that is our hope and our prayer in even doing this revival at the Essex Fair, that people will purposely and intentionally turn their heart towards the Lord. That's why when you come to Romans, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's personal. It's intentional to call out and ask God to come into your heart and to save your soul. Turning to God. Go back with me, if you would, to our text in Romans 13. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. And he comes down in verse 13 and he gives the third challenge. Of course, he started out by telling us to cast off the works of darkness, to put on the armor of light. And then look with me at verse 13. The very next thing he tells us to do is, let us walk honestly. I want you to say that with me. Let's all say it together. Let us walk honestly. We're going to do it one more time. And the reason I'm going to have you do it one more time is because you see it so little, it's good to say it more than once. Let us walk honestly. Now, I don't care whether you're a politician, a physician, whether you're a school teacher, a gas station attendant, it doesn't matter to me if you're a stay-at-home mom or if you're a rocket scientist going into outer space. God says that we should walk honestly. How I pray that they would let the Bible be the center of Washington, D.C., so that those politicians could hear phrases like that from the Word of God. How I wish that in our public schools again, they could read the Bible on the PA system so that people could hear such simple principles as, let us walk honestly. Why do people find a problem with this? Who wants a neighbor who's not honest? Who has children and as they're raising their kids up, they think, boy, I hope he's dishonest. Nobody does that, or nobody who's sane. So God says to you and I as his children, let us walk honestly. You know, when you look through the scriptures, we learn that Christ changes us. He changes our conscience. Hebrews 13:18 says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. That's what the apostles said. Pray for us, that we will have a good conscience concerning walking and living honestly. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12 says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. He says, listen, we are living as apostles in simplicity, godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we are living with a good conscience because we're walking honestly. 1 Peter 3:16 says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You see, if you walk honestly and you live in a good conscience, he says, those people who accuse you of false things will be ashamed. But if you live and walk dishonestly, and you do not have a clear conscience, it will kick you in the rear end hard, won't it? Have we not seen it happen many a time? People think nobody will know. Not so. Even if it takes all the way to eternity, when the Bible says that all things shall be revealed, we should walk honestly in a good conscience before the Lord and all men. 1 Timothy 1:19 says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. You and I, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. We ourselves need to lay aside the works of darkness and how we need to pray that throughout our neighborhoods, our communities, our families, how we need to pray that they too will come to the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, that those works of darkness might fall away from them and they stop bearing the weight and consequences of the works of darkness. How we need to pray. The day is at hand that we would see the armor of light so prevalent that it would shine forth in your life and my life from pulpits far and wide throughout New England that people might come to salvation. And when that happens and people get serious about their faith, you will see people walk honestly. You wonder what's the problem with Washington, D.C.? They need the Lord. That's the problem. They need to walk honestly, but they need Christ first and foremost. Why is there 10.9% increase in violent women? Because they need Christ. Because they need the hope, the peace, the strength of a God who loves them and transforms them through that armor of light. All the dishonesty that takes place in our neighborhoods and our communities. I'm shocked every couple of years, our Addison Independent or one of the local newspapers will tell us about some town clerk or some town treasurer who's embezzled funds. And I read these things and I think, these are little tiny towns. People are throwing their lives away for $10,000? Rich Gilbert, he'll give you $10,000 if you just not embezzle the funds. No, I'm just teasing about that. But how crazy is it is for people to destroy their lives over dishonesty? The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let's shine forth the light of the gospel that people might find hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you would bow your heads with me, we'll come to the end of our service. As your head is bowed and as you look in your heart, maybe this morning you've thought to yourself, I need the light. I need Jesus Christ in my heart and in my soul. I'm tired of bearing the consequences of the works of darkness. In just a moment, we're going to sing a couple verses of invitation. And maybe you'd like to slip out and just come right up here and look up at me, and I'll come down. I'll come right down and talk to you. I'll have somebody bring you to a classroom and open the Bible and answer your questions and pray with you that today you might receive the light of Christ in your heart, that you yourself might have salvation in Him. Christian, my challenge to you is the day is far spent. The day is at hand for you and I to live honestly, to lay aside the works of darkness. The day is at hand for us to go ahead and wear that armor of light so bright and true and sing out, I am a child of God. Maybe this morning you need to recommit yourself to that. Father in heaven, as we go into this invitation time, I pray for your Holy Spirit to stir and move within our hearts and souls. For truly, Lord, we want to know your will and we want to do your will and walk in your will. I pray for your Holy Spirit to guide and direct as only you can do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.